What is a privilege and a blessing to be here once again this evening. My wife and I and our children very much enjoyed last evening. We really enjoyed the fellowship afterward, getting to know many of you, trying to learn your names. Please forgive us. We won't remember your names the first night or the second, I'm afraid, but hopefully we can get it till the end. So it was a great evening last evening. Looking forward to this evening. The story is told of a zoo that was noted for their great collection of different animals. One day, the gorilla died, and to keep up the appearance of a full range of animals, the zookeeper hired a man to wear a gorilla suit and fill in for the dead animal. It was his first day on the job, and the man didn't know how to act like a gorilla very well. And as he tried to move convincingly, he got too close to the wall of the enclosure. He tripped and he fell into the lion exhibit. He began to scream, convinced his life was over, until the lion came over and spoke to him. "Be quiet, or you're going to get us both in trouble." You know, too often, the real Christians have died. And we simply dress up and we continue the act. We're very good at building a facade around us. We look so good on Sunday morning. And if I must say so, even on Thursday evening, we look very good. Then we proceed to lock our social media accounts to just our closest friends, because we really wouldn't want anyone else to see who we really are. We like who others think that we are. We just don't want too many to find out who we really are. So I ask the question, who are we trying to fool? Who are we trying to fool? Is it people at church? Is it God? Because in reality, we're only fooling ourselves with this little stunt that we pull. Because God will not be fooled. Ephesians 6:5 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Key verse here, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men." Oftentimes, it's easy for us to think that if the deacon doesn't see, then we're okay. Now, it's amazing because being in church leadership for as many years as I've been, I have a great church. But you know, you see these little things that you know you weren't supposed to see. And then we have to wonder, what else is going on? Who are these people that I go to church with? And if I'm not careful, I can fall into the same trap. These people that I go to church with see these things about me and they wonder who their preacher is. We play these little games. As long as the deacon thinks well of us, we'll be okay. And it's easy for us to forget the fact that each one of us is responsible to God. It really doesn't matter so much what your deacon thinks, but it totally matters what God thinks. It's so hard for us to remember. I think it's interesting how God even needed to remind the prophet Samuel. You see, this whole thing of building a facade is something that each one of us as people deal with. It's something that humans have dealt with for ages. 1 Samuel 16:7, the prophet Samuel. This man of God that should be able to see past all facades was sent out to the countryside to anoint the next king of Israel. And you would think that this prophet of God would understand how to see past facades. And yet God had to remind him. The Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." I like this next phrase. It's attributed to Abraham Lincoln, even though we don't know if it was him exactly who coined the phrase. It goes like this. You can fool some of the people all of the time, all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. And I will add to this that you cannot ever fool God. Ever. You know, we become comfortable around the people that we rub shoulders with because we know we can actually fool them, at least some of the time. And so we become comfortable with this facade that we build because we know it actually often works. And it's easy for us to forget that God sees through these things. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter how many good works you do. Your deacon will not get you to heaven. Because only Jesus can do that. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "But let a man examine himself." And this evening, as we look into Scripture, I want each one of us to be able to look at ourselves. Examine ourselves. What do we see in the mirror? You know, I have some little children. I have a 2-year-old who loves to eat messy food. And it's nothing for him to come over to my office or to my chair after supper, and he just has so much food on his face he could make another meal of it. He doesn't care because he doesn't know. And so I tell him, and he still doesn't care until I convince him to go look in a mirror and he sees the mess on his face and he actually laughs. And it's not until I tell him to get a wet wipe and wipe it off that he's actually able to do it. And so this evening, as we look into Scripture, I want each one of us to be able to look in the mirror. What do we see there? Is it a mask? Is it a facade? Is it the real person? And do you like what you see? It's between you and God. It's not up to the deacon or to your preacher, because I don't think your deacon's here this evening. In fact, I don't think he's going to be here at all. And so this doesn't let you off the hook. But you know what? It's not up to him. It's up to each one of us here this evening. Our deacon, our preacher, our bishop can only look on the outside. And you know, oftentimes we like it that way. But it's very important for us to remember that God looks on the heart. Please turn to Acts 4. Acts 4 is our passage for this evening. This evening I want to look at a very familiar passage. I want to look at the passage that tells us about Ananias and Sapphira. I believe it's fascinating because Ananias and Sapphira come onto the scene near the beginning of the church. And I really enjoy the book of Acts, and I read through the book of Acts, and I see this big kumbaya moment where these people are just coming together and they're enjoying time together. Many new believers, and these new believers just wanted to share everything. It's an amazing moment that I believe each one of us could have probably easily got caught up in. It looks like a very special moment as I read in Acts. This was the early church. There should have been no hypocrites. It was very close to the time of Christ. And as we look at all these people coming together, it's easy for us to think that maybe they were perfect. And right in the middle of this, we have Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were humans. I believe that Ananias and Sapphira would have probably fit right in here this evening. I believe that they probably knew how to look at church on a Thursday evening. I believe they probably would have fit right in. They would have been able to greet you as you came to church this evening. I don't think that you would have been able to tell them apart from anyone else. They were part of the group. They were part of the new church here in Acts. Ananias and Sapphira wanted in on the action. It was a special time in the new church, and they wanted to be a part of it. And so let's pick up in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. This is a special time of the church. All those who believed, doesn't say all those, but it does say a multitude. A multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own. And they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is a beautiful picture of the church working together. This is something that I believe each one of us actually can still experience just a little part of. I heard the care for your brother who is in Germany receiving surgery. I believe each one of us understands a little bit of what this body might have looked like. Caring for each other, helping each other. No one lacked. Everyone had what they needed. It's a beautiful thing. Acts 5. Verse 1, we have a but. We have this beautiful picture, and it feels like this would be a good place to end the story. But it's not a good thing. When we have a beautiful story, and then we find a but, we know that it can only go downhill from here. A certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a possession. Doesn't sound like a problem. This is something everyone else was doing. However, verse 2, they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter said unto her, tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Wow. God doesn't like fakes. I think we got the point. God doesn't appreciate fakery. This evening, I want to look at three different points from this passage. The attraction, the quest, and the deception. The attraction. Ananias and Sapphira had good friends. You got to give it to them. They had good friends. They had good taste, like many of you here this evening have good friends. They looked around at their peers and they wanted to be like them. I believe we would call this positive peer pressure. This was a good thing. Ananias and Sapphira had good friends. They wanted to be like their friends. Positive peer pressure. However, Ananias and Sapphira missed the point. You see, their friends had truly wanted to please God. They were selling these things, giving up their possessions for the sake of the church. For Ananias and Sapphira, it seemed like it was more about popularity and reputation. It wasn't really about serving God or the church. It was about their reputation in the community. Everyone else was doing it. It was the right thing to do. It made sense. No one had need, and Ananias and Sapphira really wanted to fit in. They wanted to be part of this movement. It wasn't so much about serving Christ. It became more about what others thought of them. I believe it's so easy for us to get this idea. It's so easy for us to look around a congregation like this where we have so many good people. So many good people who are serving Christ, and we look around and we say, well, I want to be like them. It's a good thing. But it's not actually about serving Christ. It's about my reputation. It's about what others will think of me when they see me at church. Ananias and Sapphira were missing the point. It's extremely important for each one of us to remember that we are personally responsible to God. Others around us may help push us to God, but it is up to us to have that relationship with God. Too often we look around and we find those that have it all together. Do you have the person in your life that just have it all together? I know at least two people like that in my life. I look at them and I say, I want to be like them. They have life figured out. They know what answers to give. They are successful. I want to be like them. It looks like they are serving God to the utmost. And it's easy for me to look at their lives and try to copy what I see. We try to replicate it by what we see on the outside. But so many times we don't see past the outside. It's hard for us to actually see what makes them perfect. It's hard for us to actually see all the time that they spend with Christ. These people that look like they have it all together, maybe they kind of do. And it's usually because of a very close relationship with Christ, and we usually don't see that part of their life. And so we just try to copy the parts that we can see. I believe this is what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They got caught in the outward. They missed the real reason why all those around them were selling their land. It wasn't about a popularity contest. It wasn't about who could have the best reputation. The folks around them were actually selling and giving out of a true heart for Christ. Great things were happening. Why? Because hearts were being changed. Ananias and Sapphira saw what God was doing for others and they wanted to be part of it. This was a good thing. Do those around us want to be a part of what's happening in our lives? Ananias and Sapphira were drawn to what God was doing. Others notice when we get real with God. Can't hide it. They'll notice. There's a real attraction that will take place. How many of you are familiar with the pineapple story? Otto Koenig. Okay, a few of you. Yeah, good. I believe he actually has a story on digital right now. It's something that I listen to quite often growing up. My mom would take us for walks, and we used to have this old tape player that we would put in the top of the stroller. We'd put a bunch of C or D batteries in the bottom, and we would listen to Otto Koenig as we walked down the street. Don't ask me what the neighbors thought. We didn't care. We were listening to a story that was very entertaining. And I just remember Otto being a missionary to thieves. And normally Otto would get very angry when these people would come and they would steal his pineapples. They would steal them before they were ripe. He was waiting till they were ripe, but they would steal them before they were ripe, and he would get very angry. He would chase them off. Until one day, Otto decided that, you know what, these aren't his pineapples. He's going to forgive them. He will forgive these thieves. You know what happened? These thieves noticed. One of them came to Otto the next week, and they said, Otto, you've become a Christian. You see, he was teaching them about Christ and the way of Christ. And it finally touched his heart, and they realized that he had become a Christian. You see, when Jesus touches our heart, others will notice and they'll be drawn to it. God will do great things when we seek him with an honest heart. We will begin to see things coming out of our life like the fruit of the Spirit. And as we talked last night, this fruit becomes a sign pointing to a deeper relationship. Those around us will want what we have. This leads me to the second point, the quest. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the praise that others were receiving. They wanted to be part of the look good and the feel good moment. It makes me think of a park bench with someone's name on it. It reminds me of when my wife and I went to the Bible Museum, and they have a whole wall with names on the wall. They wanted to be part of the look good, feel good moment. It's normal for us to want the praise of man. It's that flesh within us. We desire to have others like us. And that's what Ananias and Sapphira wanted here. They were on a quest to receive that. And it makes me wonder if maybe, just maybe, those who were giving up their land were getting a little too much fanfare. Maybe during this time in Acts, they should have not had the left hand know what the right hand was doing. Apparently, there was quite a bit of fanfare that Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be part of. They saw that others were receiving high praise, and they thought, if only we could do the same thing and get the same praise. But you see, Ananias and Sapphira wanted it for selfish reasons. Evidently, pleasing God was not top priority, because they had made a decision that if we keep back part of the money, no one else will know. We can still receive all this praise and fanfare, and we can have the money. In 2026, we call this having your cake and eating it too. That's what they wanted. That's what many of us want. They were on a quest to receive it. It's a good idea for each one of us this evening to ask ourselves, why do I do the things I do? Why do I do the things I do? Why would you do what you do? Think about it. If you were a castaway on a secluded island, would you still do the things that you do? You could say, well, no, I'd probably go barefoot. Well, okay, I'm not talking about that. Would you still serve Christ? Would you still pray? Would you still read his word if there was a Bible there? Would you keep up your relationship with him? Would you still treat others? If there were others there, would you still treat them in a Christ-like way? Would you still do the things you do if you were a castaway on an island? I imagine that if you were in that situation, you would get really scared and you would probably seek God more than you do now. So maybe that's not a fair question. Would you be who you are now if no one from your church was there? Probably the more fair question to ask this evening is, who are you on vacation? You know what? Most of us actually do take vacations. We have summer coming up. We're making vacation plans. At least some might maybe doing that. Who are you on vacation? Do you do what you do here, there? Would you do what you do there, here? Are you the same person? Why do we do what we do? If we're only seeking man's recognition, we are missing the point. I think this next story illustrates it well. A young man who worked at an investment firm was impressed and very appreciative at the interest his business associates took in the news that his wife was going to have a baby. Every day, one or more of his co-workers would drop by his desk and inquire, "How's the wife doing? What does the doc say? Any news, old man? Many more days?" What he did not know was that every man in the office had a bet on when the baby would arrive. The interest in his life really concerned a greedy desire to win the office bet. While this young father may have been fooled, God understands each one of our motives. He knows who we are. He knows why we do what we do. And if you find yourself only seeking man's recognition, this is your warning to seek God before it's too late. And this leads me to the third point this evening, the deception. Often we cheat to get the desired outcome. We want to satisfy ourselves. Ananias and Sapphira liked what God was doing, but they missed the inward attitude that was producing the good works in those around them. I get the idea sometimes that our spiritual lives become an afterthought. We put so much attention onto the praise of those around us. We want to be accepted by those around us that our spiritual life eventually becomes secondary. It becomes an afterthought. We go to church to appease our conscience, just to look like good Christians, not because we truly desire to know the Lord. We understand what Christians should do. We understand what Christians should look like. And it's so much easier for us to just go through the motions than to actually get real with God. It's too much hard work to really seek the Lord. I believe it's actually easier to look good on a Sunday morning and then to just do the rest of what I want to do in the week following. As long as I put on my gorilla suit for Sunday, that's how we live. That's what we do. Too often we know that we're only seeking man's approval. We know it. Just like my son with his dirty face, I tell him, and he knows it, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He can look around, and he can see some other dirty faces, and he's not alone, and he doesn't care. We don't care that we're not serving God because we're still getting what we want. We're getting the approval of those around us. We feel that the ultimate outcome is receiving the praise of man. How sad. Peter said in verse 4 of Acts 5 that we read this evening, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." These things that we do, they must start with a heart for God. Seek the praise of God with a pure heart. Seek God out of love and gratitude, not out of self-gratification. We need to realize what He did for us rather than count the things that we're doing for Him. 1 John 4:19, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We need to be a group of believers that pushes each other to a closer walk with God. Not simply to look like good Christians on a Sunday morning. It's easy for us to be able to look around and we can kind of tell that that lion isn't actually a real lion. We soon start to see the other fakes, and it kind of makes us feel comfortable. We need to search our hearts. Are we seeking God's praise? Or are we seeking man's praise? So in closing this evening, I want to ask the question. Are you walking around in a gorilla suit? This evening, are you seeking the praise of man? Or are you the real thing? Are you legit this evening, or are you simply wearing that suit to receive the praise of man? You see, the devil is a real lion. The devil is no fake. He's real. And the devil is seeking to destroy us this evening. You see, if we are mere men in gorilla suits, we are no match for this real lion, the devil. This evening, God knows who you are. And so, does that make you feel good? Or does that make you feel a little nervous inside? I believe that feeling that you have this evening depends on whether you're real or whether you're fake. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This evening I'd like to do a simple invitation. The chorister, are you prepared to lead a song? Okay, all right. Maybe this evening you feel like you are that zookeeper's associate wearing the gorilla suit. Everyone here thinks that you're a good gorilla because you look like it. But inside, you know you're fake. You know it. You're not the person that others think you are this evening. And so tonight is your opportunity to get real with God. So I'm just going to ask as we sing just a verse of song. I want to have a long invitation, just probably one verse of song. I would just ask you to stand at your seat. Stand at your seat and tell God that you're ready to get real. You're done with the silly gorilla suit. And after we sing, if you want someone to pray with you, just please meet at the back. I believe Jim would be happy to pray with you, or someone here would be happy to do that. So will we sing?